Warrior Productions in Rhinebeck was founded with a couple key goals. They want to promote new works by emerging and established playwrights living in the Hudson Valley. They want to present artists with production opportunities and unique programs that seldom are found elsewhere, and to create and provide programs in which emerging artists collaborate with accomplished mentors in a supportive educational and professional environment. Take all that together, mix, stir, and enjoy. They also are looking to produce diverse and provocative new plays that explore contemporary issues and engage audiences and communities. Elaine Fernandez is president and founder of Warrior Productions, and she joins us this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Warrior Productions.
It's very nice to have you with us. So you are somewhat based in Rhinebeck.
Yes.
But, and I say somewhat because your sphere of influence is much larger than that.
Yes. Technically, the plays that we look to produce are from Albany to Westchester. That's how we define the Hudson Valley region.
So what niche are you trying to fill?
Well, I'll tell you, just to go back a little bit, because the reason that I started Warrior Productions was partly through my own experience as a writer, trying to produce new plays and also have an opportunity for a mechanism for feedback through that development process. One of the things I found was that there really aren't a lot of workshop opportunities for playwrights that aren't exclusive, that really just allow you to hear your work, to have actors read your work so you get a sense of how your play is being developed. It's very hard when you're writing something to actually hear it, and other people are able to catch things that you're not when you have a feedback mechanism. And so it was really, that was the impetus behind starting a production company with the goal of producing the new work once it's developed.
That process can take any amount of time. You fill in the blank, right? I mean, it can take,
yes,
it can take weeks, it can take months, it can take years, it can take decades.
Absolutely.
And so what you want to do is to try to have that process be as pain-free as possible on the production end to allow the creative artistic side to be as painless as possible for that person creating the art.
That's right. And for it to be supportive, it's a very difficult thing when you're a writer. There's a lot of vulnerabilities. It's your work that's being put out there. And so having a supportive environment and a critique process is really critical to being able to bring that work to completion. And so that's one of the things that our workshop does through our feedback process. It's meant to be constructive, not destructive, so that writers continue developing their work through the end. And that's why we started a page-to-stage workshop for people that are skilled writers but not necessarily playwrights. So if they're interested in writing plays, it teaches them the fundamentals of dramatic writing by creating and producing a 10-minute play. So in an 8-week workshop session, they actually write and complete a 10-minute play that we then have staged readings at the Morton Memorial Library and Community House, where, yep, they have a wonderful stage.
Yes, they do.
They really do. All libraries. I have to just give a plug to the libraries here because I really think they're like the best kept secrets in town.
Yep.
They offer a tremendous number of free programs and resources for people. And the Rhinebeck or the Rhinecliff Morton Memorial Library is unique in that it does have a community room with a stage. And I grew up there, so it's actually a very special thing for me personally to have our workshops there and our staged readings there. So our staged readings are sort of our first layer of having an audience critique process. We do an audience talk back after the plays are completed. And again, they're 10-minute plays. They're short. And it gives writers another opportunity to address any potential problems in the play, improve the play if they feel like they need to. And then we encourage them to submit it to our annual short play festival, which takes place at the wonderful Center for Performing Arts at Rhinebeck, which has state-of-the-art equipment, lighting, sound. So they actually have an opportunity for as full a production as you possibly can in a short play festival, because there are many plays, so you are somewhat limited. But we have tremendous opportunity there.
When you do the 10 minutes, and then, which I want to talk about more, but when that's done, then what?
So after they complete their 10-minute play, we begin with the staged readings at the Morton Memorial Library. I work on all the promotional aspects to prepare the staged readings, to get the audience there. And then I also work on recruiting actors, and I find actors that work well for the parts. And then the actors actually come in before the eight-week program is over, and they do a reading so the playwrights can hear their work read by professional actors, people who, you know, have experience doing this and do it very well. Mm. And there's a lot of local talent, so we've got a great pool of resources. Absolutely. We're able to tap into. And so after the staged reading process, we encourage the writers who come through the program to submit their play for the short play festival. It's a perfect fit, really, because they only write 10-minute plays, and the short play festival is a combination of 10-minute plays and one acts, which typically go no longer than 45 minutes.
When you think of, I want to get to one of the lines that I read, that you're looking to produce diverse and provocative new plays. How do you, is that one of those things that just kind of comes by osmosis, or meaning that you're not suggesting to anybody, I want you to write a provocative play that explores an interesting issue, that I assume it just comes that way?
Yes, I guess it's my way of saying to writers, I want you to write whatever you want to write about. I don't want you to feel censored. I don't want you to feel like you're limited to writing to a particular audience. I want to read it all, and then let us decide what's producible when it comes time to do that. It's like, I really want to keep the field open so that people can be truly creative. Oftentimes you hear about playwrights entering contests, and there are so many criteria. You can't have more than two characters. You can't have more characters than four. You know, it has to be about this, or it, you know, it can't have that element. And I don't want writers to be confined. I feel like it takes the art away from it.
And that it would seem to me 10 minutes is confining. But is the idea that, okay, this is to get it out on paper, and then this can be expanded at some point?
That's exactly right. In fact, we talk about that in the workshops. And by the way, you'd be surprised what you really can write about and what kind of emotion you can produce in a 10-minute play.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one of the things, sure, that's so much fun about working with writers on 10-minute plays, because I don't think a lot of people think that way. I think they feel like, what am I possibly going to say in a 10-minute play? And it sounds so impossible to them to even confine a whole subject idea into a 10-minute play. But it's definitely doable. And in fact, I have two playwrights right now who are working on their 10-minute plays. They're both about death, interestingly enough, which wasn't planned by either one of them together. And they're very poignant. And in 10 minutes, I mean, you really, you leave the end of these plays really thinking about it. Thinking, I mean, one deals with a teenager who lost a friend to drunk driving. He was in the car with somebody who was drunk driving, but he didn't drink, and he died in the accident. And so the young woman, it's a heist to high school, and it's written by a very young woman. And so the play starts with her going to his memorial. She has a terrible relationship with her mother, which comes in into the play. And yes, this all happens in 10 minutes. And then, you know, it really brings about the question for her, like, how does she cope with this? The death of her best friend from high school, dying this way. At the same time, shortly around that time, she lost her grandmother, who was the only other person she felt very close to. And so here she has this strained relationship with her mother. The two people she's closest to are now dead. And, you know, the coping mechanisms when you're a teenager are so different from the coping mechanisms when we're older. I mean, right. We all have vulnerabilities throughout our lives, but we have the benefit of our ages of life experience. We've lived through some trauma. But when you're that age, you don't live through trauma. And her play is very interesting in that respect. It really kind of brings you back to the mindset of a very young person dealing with, you know, real tragedy. And so that's one of the plays that, and then the other one has to do with somebody has a terminal illness, and she's the only caretaker of her grandson, who she loves very much. So it takes us on a journey through that experience, and she's managed to alienate all of her coworkers. She's on a medical leave. They have to find somebody willing to come and offer her some contributions from the office to help her with her health needs, not knowing she's terminal at this point. And in her mind, all the while, she's thinking, what am I going to do about this one boy that I do love? And it's very interesting because there's parts of her character that you automatically dislike because she's very gruff and difficult to get along with. And then the love for her grandson throughout this play really endears you to her. And it just makes you think of all aspects of the human condition, all these qualities we all possess that come out at different times. So in a 10-minute time frame, it's amazing, actually, what you can convey.
So let's briefly go over timelines. So one of the things, the Short Play Festival is happening when?
The Short Play Festival will be happening May 6th through the 8th, 2016, at the Center for Performing Arts, and it'll be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday run.
Okay, so to get ready for that, you are in what stage of the process now?
Actually, this is perfect timing for me to be talking about this because the deadline for submissions is November 2nd.
Okay.
So that's 2 weeks from today. It's coming up fast. We have about 26 submissions so far. As I said, it's only from Albany to Westchester. We do confine it to the Hudson Valley region. So you do have to be a local writer, and it has to be a new play. It can't be something that's been produced before. You can have staged readings, workshops, that sort of thing, but it can't have been performed at a theater where they sold tickets.
And then those works, once they're chosen, then what happens from there? You will go through the process.
Exactly. We'll let the writers know who is chosen. And then one of the things I will do is work very closely with the writers on identifying the appropriate director for their play. Some playwrights have their own directors, people they're familiar with working with for years, and that's who they want to work with, and that's fine. But for those playwrights who don't, I work very closely with them to find the right director. And then also the actors. We begin to recruit the actors. This will happen in about December. And then January, we will have the schedule for rehearsals for all of the playwrights and their actors.
And then what we see in May is a fully produced, it isn't a stage reading.
That's right.
It's a fully produced
Exactly.
play.
Exactly. At the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck, which is located on 308 in Rhinebeck. Wonderful theater. We had a great experience with them this past May. We produced our first annual short play festival. We had a great crowd. We filled it with 86% capacity our first time out, which was very promising, very exciting. And it's such a state-of-the-art theater with just consummate professionals. I mean, the whole thing ran so smoothly from lighting and sound transitions, which are difficult to achieve because you have one play coming in after another. You basically have less than 30 seconds to change everything and queue up for your next play. Mm. And they just did a phenomenal job. It was seamless from one to the next. And it just went really, really well. So I very much look forward to working with them again.
I touched on this a few moments ago, but once that is done, and they have that 10-minute play that's been produced, are you out of the process then, or are you very much interested in where it goes from there?
Oh, I'm definitely interested in where it goes from there. My hope is to encourage them to continue writing. I think that's the beginning of the relationship.
Well, you can find that information by going to warriorproductions.biz. Warriorproductions.biz, and it has all the information on there of how you
exactly.
submit, and you have until November 2nd, so
yes.
cracking.
Okay,
all right.
Exactly.
And find out more information about it by going to warriorproductions.biz. Elaine Fernandez is president and founder of Warrior Productions, and again, the Short Play Festival will be happening at the Center for Performing Arts at Rhinebeck in May.
Yes,
so we'll
that's
find
right.
out more. So a lot going on between now and then. Elaine Fernandez, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck in your work.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy it. We post all of our segments online. If you would like to hear this again or for the first time, wamc.org/roundtable. Also, a reminder, you can go to warriorproductions.biz for more information on Elaine and her work. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.